Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Ground ball to second. Horner throws him out. Cubs win. Cubs win the ball game. They take 2 out of 3 against the Twins. They took 3 out of 4 against St. Louis. A 5-2 homestand. And that will never, ever go out of style.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Pat Hughes with a phenomenal call there as always. The voice has a little bounce to it when the Cubs win, of course, as you mentioned. Cubs victorious today, 8-2 against the Minnesota Twins. I just want to remind you guys, we're going to be talking Bears training camp a little bit later. And Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It's Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys. And we get to talk to our next guest about those very Cubbies. He covers the North Siders for the Marquee Sports Network, and he's joining us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Your hometown tire, Aturo.com. It's Andy Martinez. Andy, I keep wanting to say Arturo. I got to be honest. I'm saying Aturo. It's here. I'm looking at it. A-T-T-U-R-O. But as a Latino, Arturo is just, it's rolling off the tongue for me. I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, don't blame you. It's kind of like Selena Gomez, right? Like, yeah. Selena. It feels weird for me to say Selena.
Yeah. There's a couple people like that where I'm always just like, Fabian, siempre. It's always Fabian. Whatever it is, no matter who I meet, no matter who you are, you're Fabian because I have a cousin Fabian. It's just, that's what it is. But the name we want to really be talking about might be Asad, a different kind of Latino. Talk to me today about his performance on the mound, and then we'll get into the performance of the bullpen after that.
Yeah, so it's kind of like what it's been kind of post his injury that he had where he was on the IL for the 15-day IL, excuse me. It's just like, it's fine, but it isn't like as good as he has been. A lot of it's just falling behind the hitters, kind of nibbling around the zone, walking some hitters. He only walked one today, but like that's kind of been the issue where he like falls behind in counts and then he's kind of chasing and it has to use more pitches. Like he went 4 innings and allowed 2 runs. Like it was a solid outing. Like, yeah, like in terms of like limiting offensive damage, but you want him to go deeper, right? You want him to go 6 innings, five, six innings if he can. But he's been like really, really short the last few innings because he's just not getting ahead of hitters, and it's requiring him to use so many pitches that like he comes out of games early. I believe at one point in the second inning, he was already at like 36 pitches, almost 40 pitches. And I believe he finished with like 44 pitches in the first 2 innings. I'd have to double check, but it was like around that range where it's like, you know, like, the target range for pitchers usually around 15 pitches an inning, right? So you're thinking 44, you're probably thinking three innings, and like that's what he took. That's what he needed to get six out.
Right.
So like you want him to go deeper, especially like just given the circumstances. The Cubs, this is their last game of 13 in a row. Their bullpen's been used a lot. Like you want to try and you know preserve the bullpen as much as you can. And so, yes, like the results have been like in terms of limiting, keeping his team in the ballgame, they've been good. Like he's not getting blown out. Like he's not giving up six runs where the game's over early on. But like you want him to go deeper into games to kind of preserve the bullpen, even though it has been pretty good of late.
Yeah, and when you're looking at, you know, the bullpen, obviously Craig Counsell feeling confident in, you know, their abilities as of late, saw the stats, you know, top five bullpens since June. Drew Smyly, George Lopez, Porter Hodge, Julian Mayweather. I mean, solid, super solid. When you're talking about the bullpen today, what can you say about the gentlemen and how they handled themselves?
Yeah, they finally settled into a groove with their bullpen and like who their leverage arms are. It's clear Hector Neris is the closer, and Craig Counsell kind of does what he's been doing his whole managerial career, where the closer is only pitching if it's a save opportunity in the ninth. Like he's not going to bring him in. And if the Cubs are losing by one run in the eighth, like obviously, like if a lot of pitchers are down and like it's the only guy available, like yeah, sure, he's going to go in that situation. Or if he hasn't pitched in a few days, like yeah, he'll use him in that situation. But for the most part, he's going to be exclusively used in that actual save opportunity role. And then, like you mentioned, Drew Smyly has really developed into a really, really nice reliever this whole season. He's been used in a multitude of roles. Pitched back-to-back today, pitched yesterday, pitches today, looked good, looked solid in both outings. He's pitched in long relief. He's gotten, like, multiple innings, gotten multiple outs. Porter Hodge has really, really been the most surprising pitcher to come out of the Cubs' bullpen this year. When he was kind of called up, it was like he really wasn't necessarily ready, but they needed to call someone up, and he was on the 40-man roster. He didn't really have a lot of time in AAA, and they called him up, and he sat for a few days and came in when they were getting blown out, I believe, against the Braves. And he comes in and had two or three strikeouts in one inning, started getting used more and more, and quickly got into leverage situations and has kind of thrived in them. He's got a really, really unique fastball. It's a little kind of like Justin Steele's in the sense that it like cuts a little bit and it comes from the right side and it's just high velocity. He's really been a surprising bullpen arm. I think if you had told the Cubs front office, Craig Counsell, the Cubs team, like, Porter Hodge would be, you know, this is who he would be in the middle of the season, they would have taken that in a heartbeat, because I don't think that anyone had that on their bingo card of like, yeah, Porter Hodge is going to develop into a high leverage arm, you know, midway through the season. I think that's a really, really welcome development, and I think that's an encouraging sign for like their pitching infrastructure that they can get some of these young guys and bring them up. And I think that's why you're okay when you move someone like Mark Leiter Jr. at the trade deadline, because you can kind of trust your young prospects coming up to develop into pitching roles, kind of like Porter Hodge did.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have, you know, a top tier minor league system, right? I think that,
right, yeah,
you know, you should be able to do things like that, right? You have to bank on that. If your GM is saying things like, "Hey, our 2025 season is going to be a great one," you know, then clearly he has faith in his younger arms. But you know, the word momentum can be used a little loosely. Especially when talking about the Cubs and their success as of late, but would you call it that?
Kinda, yeah. Like it's definitely more so than it has been recently. The 5-2 homestand is a really good start. I thought the win on Sunday was one of their most impressive wins of late. I thought the way they lost Saturday, where the Nico Hoerner calls for that ball, and then PCA calls them off, and then it drops in between them, and the Cardinals tie it, and then they go on to lose it. Like, I thought that was a really, really crushing loss, probably arguably, like, their most crushing loss of the season, and they've had a few of those. And then when it has happened early on in the season, like, they'll lose the next game or they'll lose the next couple games, and you're suddenly turned, you know, it's a really bad effect, right? You turned one loss into four. They came back and just beat the Cardinals. And then the next day, they have another bad loss where they like their offensive approach wasn't that great against Minnesota, a starter who was making his fourth or fifth start of his career, and they just look flat. They get shut out, and then they come back and win the next two games. Like, it's been really nice to see them kind of have these bounce back wins. The question is like, is it a little too late? Like, they're six games back in the wild card right now. three games under 500. I'm not sure. Their schedule does get really, really favorable, like, for the rest of the year. They play Cleveland here, but outside of Cleveland next week, I think their four next series are against teams that aren't competing or not really looking at playoffs, not looking at the playoffs this year.
And that's what that's the part that I'm talking about when I'm thinking of momentum. And is it more, you know, momentum for this season, or is it momentum for the future? And I think that, you know, when you're looking at Craig Council, I wonder if he looks at it as momentum for the future, right? Right. Finally feeling, not that he's feeling comfortable in the present, but, you know, you're you know how it is. When you start a new job, you're never going to feel the same that first day as you are 6 months later, right?
Right.
You know where everything's at now. You know, you got your coworker situated. You know everybody's name. You feel more, you know how to get things done. And so I think that, you know, there's something there where the Cubs are settling into not who we wanted them to be, but they're heading in that direction, right? Where, you know, they have good pitching. You just needed a little bit more offensive productivity. And then that's when you would feel good about this Cubs team if they did it consistently. And then you were just talking about it over the weekend where there's still those moments where, you know, there's just a little bit more cleaning up to do on the tail end in order for them to be where they actually want to be.
Yeah, and I think that is, like, there is some validity into, like, you know, being able to kind of carry that momentum into next year. Yeah, I think back to the 2022 Cubs where they, you know, they sold everyone off at the deadline, whether it was like a Michael Gibbons or David Robertson, guys like that, Scott Efros, and then they sold, like, they're still tanking, they're not really competing, and then they had a winning record in the second half of that year, and it was because of guys like Nico Horner and Ian Happ and Mark Leiter Jr., who was pitching well out of the bullpen. Like, there was some good success stories there that you were able to carry it over into 2023, where they, you know, we saw what happened, right, where they finished a game out of the playoffs. So yeah, like, in that sense, there is that. And I think just for, like, their personnel, I think of someone like Pete Crow-Armstrong, who has looked phenomenal defensively outside of that, you know, that miscue in against St. Louis. Like, if you have a chance to go, like, if you're a Cubs fan or if you're a baseball fan and you have a chance to go watch Pete Crow-Armstrong play defense, like, 10 out of 10, recommend it. Like, it's, like, on TV, watching on TV does not do it justice, because sometimes you see him.
You see the jumps, right?
Right. Like, you can't, like, you see it on TV and it's like, oh, that was a routine fly ball. It's like, no, he had to go, like, so far, like, 100 feet to go get that ball. Like, no, that was not an easy catch. But he makes it look so easy because he's just that elite. Like, that's you can't really appreciate that on TV. But, like, the offense hasn't been there, right? He's been struggling offensively for most of the year. He's been working with Dustin Kelly and Cody Bellinger, actually. The three of them worked on a drill in Kansas City. They just wrote about it on MarquiseSportsNetwork.com. But they worked on a drill to kind of, like, work on his timing to access some more power, access some more success at the plate. And they've kind of had success in that. Over his last, like, 12 games, he's hitting over 300. Very, very small sample size, but he's just driving the ball a lot more. Some of his outs are, like, really loud outs. And when he gets on base, we know how successful he is, right? He can turn a single into a triple type of thing with his speed in terms of stolen base.
Sure.
So I think that's really good for his development in the sense that he can get these everyday at-bats so that whether or not you make the playoffs in 2024 and 2025, you know Pete Crow-Armstrong's ready to contribute on both sides of the baseball.
Yeah, and we're talking to Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network here on 670 The Score, Gabe Ramirez, and you love seeing like that. And then there are obviously the pieces that you brought over at the trade deadline. Of course, I'm talking about Isaac Paredes. Thoughts on him so far, as, you know, in his contributions and how he's settling into his role?
Yeah, he was really, really open yesterday after his hitting his first home run. He was like really open in terms of the sense, like he said, he was putting a lot of pressure on himself. Like he wanted to impress his teammates. He wanted to impress his coaches. He wanted to impress the fans. And that was leading to some struggles at the plate because he was trying to do too much. And then of course, on the day where the wind's just howling in and it's like not a hitter's day, he hits a home run. It like just crushes a home run through the wind. And that he mentioned, like, that was a real relief, like getting it off my shoulders that I can contribute to this team. I think that the defense is just so much more stable than with Christopher Morel, just knowing that like most plays are going to be outs. Like there was always that when a ball was hit to Christopher Morel, it was kind of like, well, you know, is it going to be an out? Like there's that hesitancy. You almost don't have that with Isaac Paredes. Like he's just so good defensively. And then the bat is way more of a sure thing. Like we have seen over the 2 years that Christopher Morel was up, like the volatility in terms of his production. There was stretches where it seemed like every at bat he was hitting a home run. And then there was like 2 month long stretches where it's like, oh man, like he is really, really struggling out there. We're looking really, really lost. And Isak Paredes, for the most part, contributes like a very steady at bat. Like he's like over the course of their careers, like I wouldn't be shocked if Christopher Morel hits more home runs. But at the end of the day, like the actual offensive production, well, numbers, whether it's batting average, OPS, weighted runs created plus, like would probably think that Isak Paredes are going to be better than Christopher Morel's over that time.
And you know, Andy, you and I, we've had many a conversations about Christopher Morel over the last two seasons, but you and I have yet to speak about that trade in particular. How did that make you feel when it actually went down?
I would be lying if I didn't say I wasn't surprised. Like I thought if they're like the offense was struggling, right? How do you upgrade this offense? Well, the one position that you really didn't have locked in was third base. And Christopher Morel never really had a home, right? Like it wasn't really working at third base. You couldn't move him to first, second base or shortstop because you're locked in there. Your outfield's locked in with three other positions. And you don't want to make a 22, 23-year-old or 24-year-old kid a full-time DH. Like, that's just not going to help him. He really struggled in that role. It wasn't easy for him to adapt to that DH role. So he's a very valuable trade chip because the Tampa Bay Rays have more flexibility in terms of where they can play him. And they were trying to move Isak Paredes. So it to me, I wasn't totally shocked when it happened. I do wonder if, like, this could be a really good thing for Christopher Morel. Like, sometimes with young players, it takes a moment like this to kind of like almost get things clicking for them, right? Like it's kind of like a, oh man, like I need to really get my stuff together because I just got traded. Like I wonder if that could be the effect for him where it like maybe helps him, you know, kind of figure things out a little bit more on the offensive side and kind of become the kind of hitter he could be because his expected numbers suggest like he should be a really, really solid player.
And I think he's going to be, ultimately be good. I think, you know, no one's going to take that away. I mean, you see players move on often from organizations. We've seen it with, you know, Schwarber and such, where guys are going to have success, right? I mean, or a variation of it. And you're going to say, yeah, that's okay. That's good for that team. But maybe it might not be particularly good for what the Cubs are trying to do. Cubs are going to be facing the White Sox on Friday and Saturday, getting a first break, as you mentioned, 13 straight games, getting the day off here. Is this like when you see this Crosstown Classic in this iteration of what it looks like in the present? Are you going to be sitting on the edge of your seat waiting to see what happens with this one, Andy?
I mean, the one thing I am excited for, I have not seen Garrett Crochet pitch live. He's scheduled should pitch on Friday the opener. Like I'm excited to see him. I mean, I've seen him on TV. I've seen clips, not seen him live. I'm excited to see him pitch. I think that could be a really, really good pitching matchup between him and Jameson Taillon. Like, I think that, from a pure baseball standpoint, could be a really, really fun matchup. Jameson Taillon's been really, really good basically since the All-Star break last year till now, one of the best pitchers in baseball. Crochet is an All-Star. Like, we all know how good he is. I think that one could be really, really fun. Like, I think, like, that could be, like, if you're a baseball fan, like, that could be edge of your seat in terms of a good old-fashioned pitcher's duel. So that one I am a little excited for, but yeah, the White Sox have been struggling, to say the least, for sure.
Yeah, always got to get it. I think it was like 8 more victory? No, what are they? I think it's like
28 and 88, I thought
so,
of all.
So, and what's the record, 38?
28 and 30.
No, I'm saying what's the record for the most amount of losses?
I believe it's 38-39, I'd have to double check.
That's what I said. I said 10 or 11 victories you still got to get before they can get there. I'll be watching the games, as I do every single day. It's a sickness, but it's fun. You know, sometimes you want to see what's going on. You want to see how the team is progressing. You want to see some of the young guys. I saw Brian Ramos was doing really well over the last couple of days, you know, in the minors. So hopefully he'll get a shot to come up soon. So I'm excited to see what's going on over there. All right, before I let you go though, you know, I got to ask you, as the season's winding down, expectations, miss it by a hair, the playoffs, I'm talking about the Cubs or what?
Yeah. Yeah, I just think the deficit's too much, but I wouldn't be shocked if they go on a run where they make things interesting. Like I think they'll still be playing meaningful games in September. It's just there's so many teams ahead of them. the deficit's so big. But I mean, I was talking with Tony and Jackie earlier. I will say, like, they had a 92% chance of getting in the playoffs in September last year, and they didn't get in. And I think their playoff odds to make it this year are like at 7%, which is like almost the polar opposite. So I guess never say never, but yeah, it's pretty tough to try and overcome that right now.
Yeah, that's a good one. Great stuff as always, Andy, man. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Andy Martinez from the Marquee Sports Network hanging out with us here on 670 The Score. Tough season, man. Baseball's tough, especially when you see so many teams that are top heavy. You're trying to figure out where, you know, even if you have an above average team, you're still not good enough. Because the teams at the top are beyond average. And so you try to set your team up for the future. You try to have good seasons, good things to look at. And then, from there we move on. All right. A couple of Bears players talked today at training camp, and I want to be able to play some audio for you, as did Bears offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. What does he have to say about Kalen Williams and his communication with the offensive line? I'll play that for you on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And like every one of those that happen, you know, it takes all 11. So, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit cleaner in a protection look. Sometimes we might be a little bit cleaner in a route look. Sometimes it might be the quarterback being a little bit cleaner with his feet. So, you know, every one of those plays are individual when it comes down to, you know, the why of a play not connecting perfectly. And so for us as an offense right now, that's where we're striving to get, you know, all 11 every single time we get to one of those, deeper shot plays and giving us a chance. And then like Caleb did today, Tyson did a great job of it today. If the defense puts a umbrella over the coverage structure right there, finding a check down, finding a completion, and staying efficient.
It's Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score and on 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
That was Shane Waldron talking about the Bears' offense, striving to get all 11 guys clicking every time. But there was one thing that stood out for me in that clip. I don't know if you heard it. Alex Kuhn producing today. He's a nose sniffer.
I was just going to say.
He's a nose sniffer.
Yeah, he is.
Have you ever met a nose sniffer before?
I have.
I have too. His name was Bird.
Bird?
It's the guy's name. Super tall. We played basketball together. And he was a nose sniffer between phrases kind of guy. Yeah, man, on the court, you know, things are always going to be kind of crazy. Now, I know some nose sniffers. I've never nose sniffed in my life. And I know some nose sniffers that's how they sound when they're sniffing their nose. Shane Waldron, though, I know guys like him that's like part of their being, you know, like I said, Bird. He wasn't that kind of a nose sniffer, but he was a nose sniffer. And it just kind of happened.
Like, I don't mean to be this way. I don't want to be insensitive, but is that like a condition or is it like Tourette's or something? No, I'm just asking. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Maybe?
I think it's just like how people say, you know what I'm saying? A lot. Where people have crutches.
And some
like,
people just sniff.
Some people say like. You know, he's a sniffer guy. I know people like that. That's what I'm saying. This is not like a thing that I don't think exists. Now, maybe ask ChatGPT because you know I will. I'm like, what does it mean? What does it mean when someone's... I'll Google that when I'm playing this next clip. I got a bunch of clips from Shane Waldron. Also want to play some Cairo Santos for you to talk about the new rules with the kickoffs and what he thinks about them. But of course, Shane Waldron mentioned that he's striving to get all 11 guys on offense clicking every time, which is what most people strive for. But in order to do that, you need some communication between the quarterback and the offensive line. And Shane Waldron talked about the communication between QB1 and the offensive line.
As the O-line has some different moving parts right now, as we, you know, try out different combinations, work with different things that I think in the long run will help us for the full season when you get that depth built up right there. And then for Caleb, that allows him to take leadership roles with different guys that are in there, you know, work on his communication with different groups, different centers, different guards that have rotated in, tackles. And so I think all that does is help us as a team build our communication, whether it's player to player, you know, with the quarterback to the O-line, or vice versa with the O-line to the quarterback. And we know that's going to be so important as the season goes, especially when it comes to the protections and the IDN of everything that we do and how we want to attack a defense. So it's been great for us, and it'll be great down the road in the season.
Sniffing every few words can be a type of tick, which is sudden, repetitive, or a sound that some people make. This behavior can be associated with conditions like Tourette's syndrome, but not everyone who has a tick has Tourette's.
So it could just be a tick or voluntary.
Yeah. Tics can also occur without any underlying condition. It might be more noticeable when a person is stressed or anxious. So maybe at the podium.
Yeah.
Which we've heard Shane Waldron
up there all the time.
Not the head coach kind of, you know, guy that you hear. That's what we've heard. That's an interesting one though. Maybe he's sick. Could be simple as that.
I mean, God knows Matt Eberflus sometimes when he gets up to the. Yeah,
Yeah. We know what's going on there. Yeah. I'm saying everybody has those. And you know me, I tell you guys often, this is what I pay attention to. This is with my, I have a sickness where I am constantly overanalyzing nonverbal communication. And I try to associate it with things so that I'm better skilled to read those nonverbals in future settings. So I hear a sniff and I'm like, well, that's odd. What's that? It's very, like I said, maybe he's sick. Maybe I gotta listen to a couple more press conferences from O'Shaney up in Seattle. See, if, you know, because he's there for a little couple of years. So maybe he was more comfortable.
I think we have some audio of him earlier.
Earlier?
Like right when he got hired.
Yeah.
I'll dig that up to see if he was doing
we'll
it.
We'll do that. And then I do want to cross-reference it against Seattle's interviews. Because then again, if being nervous, right? Or some sort of anxiety is contributing to that. Maybe it's because you're brand new still. Look at me trying to talk about O'Shaney. Well, he continued to talk. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to see Caleb Williams at the Hall of Fame game, but they asked Shane Waldron if he's going to be able to play game two.
With that O-line in a little bit of flux, is there any concern playing him behind it in Saturday's game?
I think we got a good depth. I think Simo and Haas have done such a good job of moving those guys around, building that depth. We got frontline players that can play at a starter level. We got guys that are playing with that second group and some of the guys rotating in a third group that can all operate at a high level, and the trust is there. And I think we can operate, you know, as an offense, depending on how we mix and match different guys when we get to that point, talking about tomorrow, what the preseason is going to look like.
Shane Waldron again talking about Caleb Williams and whether or not he'll play. Week one made sense when I started seeing that other teams were ramping up to play their games. Week one of the preseason, excuse me, made sense to me. Because then I thought to myself, I'll be specific. I was reading an article about Jaden Daniels, and they were talking about how he is going to play in his first preseason game. And I thought to myself, wow, that was so smart for the Bears. Like, they wanted everyone else to come under scrutiny before Caleb Williams, right? At least that was my mindset. But now we're in week two, and I'm like, wait a second. They're not letting him play week two either? His first action can't be week one of the NFL season.
He'll play. The question is how much, and are you concerned with the state of the offensive line as we've outlined?
I think a lot of things come into play. Like, am I concerned about the offensive line? Am I concerned? Concerned would then mean that I felt good about it at one point, and now I am concerned. Right? I can't be concerned about the concernment.
Right, but are you concerned to put him behind whatever version of
this is the NFL.
Preseason?
Okay. No. I don't know why, because every team has offensive line issues. Every team, when you go look at their depth chart, you probably don't know 70 or 80% of whoever they're playing on their offensive line, right? So they're just guys. And on the macro level, they are guys that are blocking. And it is more than just the offensive line. Granted, they help. It helps. But it's more than that. So I'm more concerned about, I want Caleb to get reps, live reps against people that want to kill him, which is typical in an NFL Sunday. I want him to get more reps, see more of that. And I understand you're still going to need a season, but you can have an accelerated curve. We've seen people have that, and sometimes you got to get thrown in the fire in order for that to happen. Speaking of the offensive line, Shane Waldron talked about the O-line battles and what it brings out in people.
I think for us, you know, competition is going to bring out the best in everybody. And I think every single competition that's involved in training camp has its own individual timeline. And for us right now, because those guys are operating at such a high level at center, and then Ryan's been able to go in at the guard spot with Nate dealing with a little bit of injuries right there, you know, it's been a smooth transition as far as the communication. So makes you feel confident that we can go ahead and keep participating or keep playing the way we're doing right now. And then when that time is right, you know, it'll be right. And we don't have to set an exact time on it. You know, it's going to obviously be before that opening kickoff there on the opening game. But right now I feel good about where we're at, and because of the professional level of those guys that are competing at those spots.
I can't listen to clips of Shane Waldron anymore without only listening to the sniffs. I'm sorry. This is where we're at. I'm going to play one more, and it's got to be the last one. Clearly, we've all been hearing about Velus Jones at running back, and Shane Waldron says it's a great chance.
This has been a great chance for Velus. He did, he's done an excellent job as a core special teams player. Did a great job at receiver, you know, getting to know the offense. And then for us, just seeing a guy that's explosive with the ball in his hand, trying to figure out different ways that potentially could be during the season or during these preseason games to check him out at running back, and knowing he's had a little bit of that in his history. And then for us, just as a staff, feeling it, the best thing for him is to do it in a block right now. So really taking this block where he gets a chance to get him in the running back room with Chad Morton, and knowing Chris had done such a great job with him at receiver, and now letting him show his skill set there, and then be able to come back after this Bills game here, and then reconvene and see what the next step would be again with trying to maximize his skill set and also putting him in that best position to showcase that.
I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I was on a podcast yesterday, our Clubhouse podcast. Shout out to the fellas.
And we were talking about Bayless Jones, and, you know, they asked the question, why?
And that was a simple one,
but it was valid. Why are they giving him the opportunity? It's not as though as he is. And I said, well, we don't see every practice. We don't see the skill in real time. We only see game day stuff, the muffed punts and, you know, maybe not the best, like whatever it is. And so the team sees it. And then, I mean, you know, no matter how you slice it, I mean, they're like, guys, what it really boils down to with Bayless Jones Jr., and this is what we ultimately came to, after everyone was giving their opinions, I ultimately said, Bayless Jones is making like $1.2 million this year, or $1.1. And if he gets cut, it'll be a $600,000 cap hit. So really, you're paying $500,000 for Bayless Jones Jr. That's the why. Why is he still on the team? Why is he now being given an opportunity? Because it's a $500,000 experiment. You are on the books for six. You pay another five, got you to 1.1. You get Bayless all year long to do whatever it is that, you know, you might need him to do in the event of some emergency, or you trade Khalil Herbert or whatever that might be. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully he can, I mean, you know, looks good when he has the ball in his hand. But sometimes experiments don't work, right? I mean, Devin Hester tried to be a wide receiver. He's in the Hall of Fame, but the wide receiver thing just didn't work out. All right, one last clip before we get up out of here, or before we go to break, I should say. Cairo Santos talked to the media, said that he went on a special teams tour at the Hall of Fame. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, he's Brazilian, but he said he's not going to go to the NFL game in Brazil, which I think is interesting. He said he's worked on some tackling techniques for the new kickoff, because he's going to be a player. Now he's going to be a little bit closer. But he did give his thoughts and opinions on the new kickoff.
It's very different. We've been rapping a lot during practice, so we're used to that feeling. But definitely feel like, especially like, because we usually are in the huddle in the sideline with the high tower and, you know, going over which direction we're going to kick and all that. But now that happens down at the 40-yard line, and he tells me beforehand, so, you know, I don't get to break with the team. But it was good feeling the timing of everything and just how the play's going to go down. But like I say, it feels a lot more normal than it did back in the spring.
It's Cairo Santos talking about the new kickoff rules, how Coach Hightower is tackling it, literally, by giving guys some stuff right there. So that's going to be interesting. But, you know, he's one of the most accurate kickers in the league right now. So it's good to have him on the squad. Glad he's here. He brings a good twist to it. All right. I'm going to do a little Twitter time. Haven't done it in a while. Last break of the day. Probably got a couple minutes. A little bit of pop culture, a little bit of sports. We'll do that next right here on The Score.
Well, what do you know? I got an admirer.
You spend so much time on Twitter, you're not enjoying the better things in life.
All those idiots on Twitter.
It's Twitter time with Gabe Ramirez.
I only want to know one thing. Can you cuss on Twitter?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
To be brutally honest, I'm not a Twitter guy.
Let's scroll through some tweets.
Chirp, chirp.
It is Gabe Ramirez here on a Wednesday. Shout out to everybody listening right now, man. This is Twitter time. Essentially just something I carve out so I can selfishly talk about pop culture. It's really what it ultimately, I miss it. So I tell you who tweets, I tell you what they tweet, and we move on. First and foremost, this is from Boyle MBCS. This is from Pat Boyle, my guy. He says, I can confirm, and he was quoting the tweet. This said, big news from CHSN. Pat Boyle has been signed to continue on as a Blackhawks studio host, according to a team source. This will be Boyle's 13th season in the position. More studio hires are coming, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Pat Boyle is one of the best. Like, you want to talk about just good human being, no qualms. I remember he has no issue giving me advice. Just like a really nice guy. Him and I'll tell you the story if you ever find me. We went to Hawaii together. I know. You would never think of the dynamic duo, Gabe Ramirez and Pat Boyle in Hawaii.
I need to hear more about this off.
Exactly. That's what I said. If you see me on the streets, ask me what Pat Boyle and I were doing out there. All right, next up.
Chirp, chirp.
This from Just Another Year, Chicago Bears. That's a long-ass name. But he says, who is a bigger disappointment for the Bears? Like for Nate Davis, retweet for Chase Claypool. I think the bigger disappointment is Chase Claypool because it's a second-round pick. It was supposed to be someone to help Justin Fields. Renee Davis was like a journeyman, you know, guard that you were just kind of trying to plug in and have it be an upgrade. So, I don't know. Somebody replied to that and said, Chase Claypool was literally asked to stay home during a game last year and was told to not come to the facility until they traded him. This is not even close, I guess.
Sure.
This from Shehan Jairaja. It says, Jim Harbaugh on Michigan's notice of allegations. There's no one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize and make it right. Today, I do not apologize. That's great. I love that. I hope that's real. Is that real?
Sure.
I hope that's real. This is the last one I'm going to give you because I do have a story to tell you. Chris Sale may have just made the most dominant empty performance I have ever seen in person. 10 strikeouts, 4 2/3 innings, but gave up 9 hits, 2 earned runs, and won't qualify for the win. Kind of wild. I love mentioning Chris Sale whenever I get the opportunity to do so. All right, that was your Twitter time. Two statements I got out here. One, I rode my scooter to work today. I was doing something with the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Chicago Fire. It was like a media guacamole contest today. And I was riding my scooter back to work, and you should follow me right now. If you're listening and you're in your car, you're on Uber, whatever the hell, Chicago_Gabe on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter too. I'll follow you back. But on IG and my stories, I put up a video of where I parked my scooter. Now, we know how expensive parking in downtown Chicago can be. So I pulled on my scooter to one of the bike racks. Like, I've seen other people do it before, but I've been too scared to do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, that's ballsy. You just put your scooter on the street. Like, you just let somebody just, you know what I'm saying? And so I did leave it there, and I'm hoping that it's there when I get there. I can see it from here, but I've, as Alex Kuhn will tell you, I've closed all the blinds in the studio. So I do not do that anymore. So we'll see. Hopefully my scooter is downstairs. But yeah, no parking. That's one of the jams about the scooters. You can just park it anywhere. All right, here's my other story quickly before I get out. You can give me my music, Alex. Actually, let me thank the people first. I want to thank EJ Snyder for coming on and hanging out with me today. I also want to thank Andy Martinez for hanging out. I want to thank Alex Kuhn for producing today.
I'm enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. That is a Dave Wanstead gem right there. All right, the last minute and a half, here's what I have to tell you. Guys, I might have found the hack to winning money. I want you to listen to BetQL and me on Saturdays, 3 to 6 p.m., because I have gems for you there. But the gem is this. Over the last 2 nights, I've placed 4 bets every night. I've won 75% of my bets over the last 2 nights. 3 out of 4, right? Single bets. Where have those bets come from? ChatGPT. I've literally gone into ChatGPT. It's all about the prompts. Prompts are important. I went into ChatGPT the last 2 nights, and I was like, analyze all the batters' performances against the pitchers that are out there. Analyze the tendencies over the last 10 games. You know, analyze the pitching performance of the last 10 games. And then give me your 10 best money line bets and 10 best player props. I'm talking about live. I said live bets. And it spewed these 8 bets out over the last 2 days, and I have gone 75% winning. Just saying.
So you're saying ChatGPT is the key
for the live bets
to win?
I'm not saying that. I can't say that contractually. But I can tell you what I did over the last 2 days and how I've won 75% of my bets. I'm just saying. I don't like talking about ChatGPT because it's a gem and I want it to be a gem for as long as possible. But I know we got some gamblers out there. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Chirp, chirp.
Well, what do you know? I got an admirer.
You spend so much time on Twitter, you're not enjoying the better things in life.
All those idiots on Twitter.
It's Twitter time with Gabe Ramirez.
I only want to know one thing. Can you cuss on Twitter?
I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
To be brutally honest, I'm not a Twitter guy.
Let's scroll through some tweets.
Chirp, chirp.
It is Gabe Ramirez here on a Wednesday. Shout out to everybody listening right now, man. This is Twitter time. Essentially, just a... Something I carve out so I can selfishly talk about pop culture. It's really what it ultimately, I miss it. So I tell you who tweets, I tell you what they tweet, and we move on. First and foremost, this is from Boyle MBCS. This is from Pat Boyle, my guy. He says, I can confirm. And he was quoting a tweet that said, big news from CHSN. Pat Boyle has been signed to continue on as a Blackhawk studio host, according to a team source. This will be Boyle's 13th season in the position. More studio hires are coming, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But Pat Boyle is one of the best. Like, you want to talk about just good human being, no qualms. I remember just, you know, he has no issue giving me advice. Just like a really nice guy. Him and I'll tell you the story if you ever find me. We went to Hawaii together. I know. You would never think of the dynamic duo, Gabe Ramirez and Pat Boyle in Hawaii.
I need to hear more about this off.
Exactly. That's what I said. If you see me on the streets, ask me what Pat Boyle and I were doing out there. All right, next up.
Chirp, chirp.
This from Just Another Year, Chicago Bears. That's a long-ass name. But he says, who is a bigger disappointment for the Bears? Like for Nate Davis, retweet for Chase Claypool. I think the bigger disappointment is Chase Claypool because it's a second-round pick. It was supposed to be someone to help Justin Fields. Where Nate Davis was like a journeyman, you know, guard that you were just trying to plug in and have it be an upgrade. So, I don't know. Somebody replied to that and said, Chase Claypool was literally asked to stay home during a game last year and was told to not come to the facility until they traded him. This is not even close, I guess.
Chirp, chirp.
This from Shehan Jairaja. This is Jim Harbaugh on Michigan's notice of allegations. Because no one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize and make it right. Today, I do not apologize. That's great. I love that. I hope that's real. Is that real?
Chirp, chirp.
I hope that's real. This is the last one I'm going to give you because I do have a story to tell you. Chris Sale may have just made the most dominant empty performance I have ever seen in person. 10 strikeouts, 4 2/3 innings, but gave up 9 hits, 2 earned runs, and won't qualify for the win. Kind of wild. I love mentioning Chris Sale whenever I get the opportunity to do so. All right, that was your Twitter time. Two statements I got out here. One, I rode my scooter to work today. I was doing something with the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Chicago Fire. It was like a media guacamole contest today. And I was riding my scooter back to work, and you should follow me right now. If you're listening and you're in your car, you're on Uber, whatever the hell, Chicago_Gabe on Instagram. You can follow me on Twitter too. I'll follow you back. But on IG and my stories, I put up a video of where I parked my scooter. Now, we know how expensive parking in downtown Chicago can be. So I pulled on my scooter to one of the bike racks. Like, I've seen other people do it before, but I've been too scared to do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, that's ballsy. You just put your scooter on the street. Like, you just let somebody just, you know what I'm saying? And so I did leave it there, and I'm hoping that it's there when I get there. I can see it from here, but I've, as Alex Kuhn will tell you, I've closed all the blinds in the studio. So I do not do that anymore. So we'll see. Hopefully my scooter is downstairs. But yeah, no parking. That's one of the jams about the scooters. You can just park it anywhere. All right, here's my other story quickly before I get out. You can give me my music, Alex. Actually, let me thank the people first. I want to thank EJ Snyder for coming on and hanging out with me today. I also want to thank Andy Martinez for hanging out. I want to thank Alex Kuhn for producing today.
I'm enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. That is a Dave Wanstead gem right there. All right, the last minute and a half, here's what I have to tell you. Guys, I might have found the hack to winning money. I want you to listen to BetQL and me on Saturdays, 3 to 6 p.m., because I have gems for you there. But the gem is this. Over the last two nights, I've placed 4 bets every night. I've won 75% of my bets over the last two nights. 3 out of 4, right? Single bets. Where have those bets come from? ChatGPT. I've literally gone into ChatGPT. It's all about the prompts. The prompts are important. I went into ChatGPT the last two nights, and I was like, analyze all the batters' performances against the pitchers that are out there. Analyze the tendencies over the last 10 games. You know, analyze the pitching performance of the last 10 games. And then give me your 10 best money line bets and 10 best player props. I'm talking about live. I said live bets. And it spewed these 8 bets out over the last 2 days, and I have gone 75% winning. Just saying.
So you're saying ChatGPT is the key
for the live bets
to win?
I'm not saying that. I can't say that contractually. But I can tell you what I did over the last 2 days and how I've won 75% of my bets. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I don't like talking about ChatGPT because it's a gem and I want it to be a gem for as long as possible. But I know we got some gamblers out there. All right, mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chirp, chirp.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.